to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You win one match. One match. You think we're equals? What are you, out of your mind? Bro, listen, I'm going to keep it real with you, all right? And by real, I mean, I'm going to start off by saying, your PowerPoint presentations? I'll tell you something about your PowerPoints, huh? There's only one word to describe your PowerPoint presentations.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, author of several children's books, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic, pro wrestling talk show, 1280 WHTK. Yeah!
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 16th. 9 more days till that man with a hairy face comes down your chimney. Oh, you think I'm talking about Santa Claus? No.
Creepy.
That is pretty creepy. Welcome to the show. Holidays today, real quick. It's National Chocolate Covered Anything Day. Sounds about right. No, this is the time of year where chocolate pretty much covers anything.
The way it should be.
And more. All right. Big Pain Clinic happy birthday to 2000 WWE Hall of Fame inductee in the celebrity wing, William the Refrigerator Perry. And a big special happy 38th to the WWE superstar Luke Harper. If you see him around, wish him a happy birthday. And former Tough Enough 2 competitor, Jessie Ward. She's known as Mrs. Ciampa. She's 38 today. You remember Jessie Ward?
No, not at all.
Season 2, Tough Enough. Girl had a stinger during season 2. She ended up becoming a producer with WWE for multiple years, and now she works in television. But she's married to Tommaso Ciampa, you know. So she,
Tommaso.
Tommaso. I don't know. Maybe this is his real name, but yeah, she's Mrs. Ciampa. So it's like, happy birthday to her. But the big one is Luke Harper. So who knows? Maybe you'll see him around town today. You know, you never know. Though SmackDown is in Portland, though.
Yeah, probably not then.
Okay. Well, you know, you might see the Bludgeon Brothers or whatever. But the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. That's right. Join us December 30th for UFC 219 at Salvatore's Saloon in Salvatore's The Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, 10 p.m. start time, hosted by us. That's right, December 30th. That's the day before the last day of the year. Enjoy, you know, say goodbye to, you know, 2017, you know, for, you know, start early with the night before New Year's Eve and come hang out with us at Salvatore's at the Garage Door and Salvatore's Saloon. Be a lot of fun. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater, officiate Rocksteady Roller Derby? Needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rocksteady Roller Derby. And you know what is really cool? Just briefly, I'm going to say this. I'm talking with my friend, the Buffalo Streaker. Tristan Lambright today. He's going to actually be at a scrimmage that's going on at noon today it's called the House of Brews over on Lincoln Avenue, for the Rock City Roller Derby. They're having open scrimmage. He's coming in to skate, and then he's going to has a bar night tonight at the Blossom Road Pub. You can meet the Buffalo Streaker 9 to 12 tonight, and I'm going to talk with him before that for some other interesting things I have that is not pro wrestling. And you know, it's roller derby. I know I shouldn't talk about it because people complain about it when I start talking about it, but just wanted to throw that out there. If you want to meet the Buffalo Streaker, get an autograph. Maybe you can give him a pose for you, you know, like that T-shirt, you know. So welcome to the show today. I'm going to introduce the cast and crew. I am the Cash Man. I'm your humble host here with the Danger Boy on the Twitter.
You just almost called me DC Dan Cole.
I was going to call you DC Danger Boy. Got Danger Boy sitting in Dan Cole's seat this week. We were going to miss out Dan for a couple of weeks, but Danger Boy is the man on the Twitter as well as the texter. You can send us anything at 222-1280, star 1280. And we're joined by Scott from Henrietta. Scott, how's it going, buddy?
May the force be with you.
We all lost our Star Wars Episode 8 virginity this past week, I guess, is a way to put it. We've all seen it. So we're not going to talk about it, though, because we did that before the mics went on.
Yeah, and we'd probably take up the whole hour debating every single facet of it.
Yeah, but this was an incredible. I'm going to start with this. This has been an incredible week for Rochester wrestlers showing up in the national spotlight. Because I'll go through the week. On Tuesday, we saw Luke Harper wrestled Colin Delaney on SmackDown Live. Well, sure, it was the Bludgeon Brothers versus Colin Delaney, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
The guy who screamed.
The guy who screamed, and I have it someplace on the sheet here who it was. But, yeah, that was on Tuesday on SmackDown. And then Thursday, if you go to the Pain Clinic's Facebook page, you might see this. Macaulay Culkin was involved in an independent wrestling match with a guy from town here, Richard Justice. You might remember him. He was actually involved, and Macaulay Culkin, you gotta watch the video because he does all the tricks you could possibly do in a wrestling match that were in Home Alone.
Yes.
Which includes throwing marbles out in the middle of the ring and then swinging the bucket from into the head of the, yes, he does.
He did the bucket trick?
Yeah, you gotta watch it. It's on, go to the Pain Clinic, Facebook page and watch the video. Richard Justice was in it. And then on Friday, last night, the coup d'etat of all, Dalton Castle wins the Ring of Honor World Championship from Cody, we can't say his last name, and a pay-per-view last night from New York City, man. Pretty impressive, huh? Danger Boy, I mean, you were marking up big time when you saw Colin Delaney and Luke Harper.
It's just, wasn't expecting it, and you see, and Colin got a nice little pop from the crowd. People remembered who he was, and they actually mentioned that he had been in the company before, and they did a whole backstage little thing that you could find on WWE.com where they talk to him about what he's been doing. I can't believe it's been almost 10 years since that whole thing started.
And it was like around this time 10 years ago, too. It was a TV taping they had in Rochester when he debuted on SmackDown, debuted on ECW. And he got beat up by Shelton Benjamin in his first match. And that's when the whole tape started, the taping his body up before he would come out for each match. And that was pretty. And the best thing about it was, and I'll say, people acknowledged him in the crowd. So I think WWE. Those are things that WWE denotes, and then say, well, we'll bring him back because people knew who he was.
Yeah. It was good to see, and unfortunately, he just got smashed. But fortunately, it was the Bludgeon Brothers. I feel like I've seen him and Luke Harper in the ring before.
Yeah, it may have been when in the Samurai Dojo. Colin was announcing back then. When Huber Boy 2 was wrestling there.
But then, the whole thing yesterday, I had a feeling it was leading up to Dalton Castle winning the title with the way they built it up. But that's just awesome for him. Good for him.
And someone who could have been a bad gimmick, and he made it just absolute money every chance he got. So it's really nice to see, someone make that accomplishment, but also knowing it's a local guy, it's pretty cool.
I remember seeing him. This is kind of a weird story, but when we got inducted into the Rochester Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dalton Castle wrestled that show, and he was part of the him and man. Do you remember the tag team Danger Boy? It was him and Will Calrissian, I think, and they were like the Cox of the Walk or something like that.
Yeah,
and he was doing that gimmick way before he ever went to Ring of Honor. That was,
he just expanded it in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he the boys showed up there. He had the boys, so it's like, but man, just kudos to him. Great, great, great news for Rochester Wrestling. It's like, you can't be more proud of some of the guys that made it out of here this past week. And, what a time of year, too. It's like around Christmas, it's a real nice pat in the back to everybody in this town who works as hard as they do. And we like the guys we had up last week, the UPW tag team champs, you just know the world is their oyster to be taken. All you got to do is do it, just get in the right place at the right time. So kudos, man. That was super exciting to find out that news last night. And then it's like, and it just went like wildfire when you heard Dalton Castle took the heavyweight title. He always assumed it was going to happen, just how over he was a long time ago. And, he kind of stepped aside for when, when they started doing all the Bullet Club stuff. You know, I mean, he wasn't in the prominent position during that, and then they moved him back up there after a while. So, you know, when they lost a few people from the Bullet Club, but it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. Scott, you're a big fan of Ring of Honor, right?
Yes.
As well as New Japan too. We got that coming up real quick too.
And we had quite the stir.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This past week, Chris Jericho shows up in Japan and beats the living whatever out of the washer. Sorry, I shouldn't call him that. Out of the man, the myth, the legend from New Japan, who probably will be a WWE wrestler in no time flat, I'm sure.
And made him bleed, which is a big deal in Japan.
Yeah.
And then he beat up Don Callis, and then they had an absolutely fantastic press conference. And, you know, it had that old school feel to it about building it up. You know, it wasn't just isolated to the ring or anything like that. They went at it in a conference room.
Yeah, Kenny Omega, you know, the proverbial, Jim Ross used to call it when your face was completely covered in blood, the mask.
Crimson mask
there, completely covered up. Yeah.
What was great is when he, so nowadays if you see a wrestler get busted open or something accidentally, they just put like the bandage on it that's the skin color and you can't really tell anymore unless you look close. He came out with his head fully wrapped in the gauze like they used to do. He's just completely covered. I don't know if they're supposed to get more color when they were in the press conference and it just didn't happen or something, because he was also wearing a white shirt and it would have looked awesome. But Jericho did it. It was completely, that whole thing was completely 80s style.
Oh, big time.
The way he beat him up, the way he beat up Don Callis. Don Callis sold the beatdown all the way back to Canada. He was getting wheeled around the airport in a wheelchair. He had Kevin Kelly wheeling him around in a wheelchair. I mean, it's they were doing it old school, and then the promo that Jericho cut afterwards talking about how you'll never see Kenny again and stuff. It was like when Flair used to get mad on the TV tapings and then just go off and start rambling nonsense. It was awesome.
Yeah. And we've got a new shirt coming. We've got the Alpha Club shirt coming.
That's right, the Alpha Club.
Chris Jericho. Hot Topic now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris Jericho has been pushing them. I've seen on his Instagram multiple times.
Yeah, so it's obvious they had him coming for a while because they're at Hot Topic. But it's also, I know he was doing it for diabetes as well. There was, when he was selling them on his website, a portion of the proceeds went to diabetes research.
Yeah.
Because his son has diabetes.
Yeah, it's a very cool topic with him because I believe a couple of weeks ago he had Colin Delaney on. Because not Colin Delaney because we were just talking about him. Who's the third member of Undisputed Era? It's not Bobby Fish. It's not.
Oh, Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly. Because Kyle O'Reilly's a type 1 diabetic. And they were taught, and Jericho did not know Kyle O'Reilly. And when he found out his son was a type 1, someone got Kyle O'Reilly and Jericho together, and they've actually become very good friends about it. And it was really interesting to listen to the two of them talk, and especially hear about Kyle's life living as a type 1 diabetic in this lifestyle and trying to keep himself balanced all the time.
It's really, got to be tough. Yeah. It's definitely, because, I mean, type 1 is injections every day. So that. That's definitely that's pretty cool. I mean, Jericho does have quite the great podcast. I noticed that he's lately back to doing TNA guys again, or sorry, Impact Wrestling guys. He had Don Callis as well as Scott D'Amore on.
Yeah, he's had a lot of good people lately.
Yeah, and he's, because he doesn't feel obligated to, I mean, he was getting most of them when he was backstage in WWE. He would set up people to come on. And speaking of interviews, did you see the one that Paige did this past week? Talking about some of her problems over the past year.
Yeah,
she, with what was her, the old ring announcer?
Lillian Garcia
does her own podcast and had Paige on it. And it's really interesting because Paige hasn't said anything, you know, I mean, since she disappeared with Alberto Del Rio a year ago.
It's good to see that at least from this look of it, from the interview she's given, she's kind of got her head back on straight.
I think she's done well, Del Rio. I don't think they're together anymore.
They are not. No.
Yeah, and I'm guessing because I follow her on Instagram. All of a sudden, her Instagram's come back to life this past couple
apparently
weeks.
Apparently, he's got his kids in San Antonio. She's based out of Orlando now. She's not going to be, you know, when she was doing her rehab and training and stuff with WWE, when she went down to the Performance Center, she wasn't coming to San Antonio, and he's got kids that he can only see.
Yeah.
You know, when he's not traveling, so they pretty much made the mutual decision to end it because they wouldn't be able to see each other. But she takes full ownership of all her stuff. She said the only thing that really surprised her, because if you remember, about a year ago, she got busted for a positive drug test.
Yes.
And when she called him out and said, no, it wasn't, you know,
Yeah, she defended herself by saying that it was because she missed the test. That's the first one. The second one was legit, though.
And she did not expect WWE to come out and say, no, you failed for an illegal substance. Which is, and she goes, I did. But I didn't expect them to call me out on it like that.
Yeah.
I guess they kind of woke her up a little bit, and she kind of, it sounds like she's grown up.
Yeah, a little bit, but she's still, you know, I mean, if you follow her Instagram, she's like best friends with Seth Rollins' old girlfriend, the one who got him in trouble with the Nazi memorabilia on her Instagram page.
It was more than that got him in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the picture says
his. And that was actually his not the girl that you're talking about, but his ex that he was dating while he was dating the girl you're talking about.
Yeah, well, remember, we saw them. We saw them here in town when they were.
Yes.
Yeah, and they were eating together at the dinosaur when that, it was 2 years ago, probably.
Yeah.
She's like best friends with Paige now, so they're both all over each other's Instagrams. It's fun to watch that stuff once in a while when you get a little bit of extra time on your hand. But it's good that Paige is back and, you know, straightened out. I'm not buying her new gimmick yet, but that's just me because she's pretty much
doing the same thing she was doing. It's just the fact that she's got two people that don't seem like they fit with her.
No, they don't.
And then we get to watch the same exact thing happen on SmackDown that happens on Raw.
Exactly. You know, and that's the whole thing. It's like what we talked about earlier. Now they've got 20 women on the roster. Maybe we're going to get a women's Royal Rumble. So we're going to go to break on that. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. We are on Facebook Live. I don't know if you know that or not. Be our friend on Facebook. And you can see the beautiful men in the studio.
When do they get here?
Sometime soon. But no, actually, Danger Boy in his orange hat. And we have, of course, Scott from Henrietta. You might have seen me introduce them before the show started. See, Scott? Yeah, I'm going to come in and say hi in a commercial break. We'll be back on the flip side. We got a lot of news to talk about. It is the holiday season. But, you know, just sit back and enjoy what happened with Rochester Wrestling this past week. Seeing all these guys from Rochester freaking succeed in the majors. It's just a wonderful pat on the back to everybody who works in this business in this town. So we'll be back on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
And you're not the only superstar that has issues with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, but I'm the only one that can beat him. I've been in the ring with John Cena, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Kane, and I've held my own every single time.
Listen, I'm going to say this to you as the GM and not your father. Holding your own is not winning.
I don't know if Shane's going to agree with me, but I trust that he'll have my back like I have always had his. So this Sunday at Clash of Champions, there will be a second guest referee in your tag match.
Wow, holy... Man, that was just cruel. I, you know what? After seeing that, I kind of feel sorry for you now. So I'll tell you what. It sounds a little crazy, but... Hey, come on down here, man. Let's hug it out. Come on. Not each other. Come hug it out with old Uncle Al. Come on down here.
Hey, this is Rhino, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Let's hug it out, guys. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic.
I want to hug it out with Uncle Al.
Uncle Al. AJ. Uncle AJ. This is, I do walk with Elias, by the way.
He's grown on me.
He is.
He's starting to, yeah.
He's going to be on Steve Austin's podcast on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
He recorded a couple weeks ago, but he got bumped. He was supposed to be on this past Tuesday, but he got bumped for Luke Bryan.
If you look at this guy's history in the business, if you go, he's been in developmental and let go and come back to developmental and let go and... He's had a lot, but he's been wrestling for like 10 years before, you know, he had his last success. But I mean, he started off as a little guy, but look at him now. He looks, you know, he's like jacked big time, you know?
He's also apparently doing better because he's not having to put singles in his guitar anymore.
Oh, yeah?
So he's probably not playing for money before the shows like he was in NXT.
Which is hilarious, by the way. And I remember how he got escorted out of NXT. Chris Hero, I beat him with a guitar, smashed it, did a... We're hoping it's not going to turn into a Jeff Jarrett thing, and so far it hasn't. But
well, they're not going to do the headshots, so...
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I want you to know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Don't forget to join us December 30th for UFC 219, Salvatore's Saloon, and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, where you can get adult beverages as well as a full menu. Come out, have a good time, eat a nice meal, and watch some UFC action, and then December 30th, the second to last day of the year. penultimate day? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay, the penultimate day of the year, December 30th, and it starts at 10 o'clock. We'll be there. Have a good time. Thank you for coming out. And
is that your vocabulary poster today?
Penultimate. I go through my thesaurus just trying to find out new words, but welcome. So some news before we get back into the discussion of stuff. Noam Dar, I don't know if you saw this. WWE posted he underwent successful surgery for his left knee. I guess on Thursday in Orlando, we're not going to see him for a while. He's one of the guys that I enjoyed.
5 months, he'll be out.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed his work. And, you know, I mean, I never even heard of him before until I started, you know.
That's because he's so young.
Is he?
He's only like 23 years old.
Yeah, he's only been in the industry for like 3 years. He's really young.
Apparently, his knee's been bothering him for a few weeks, and he underwent an MRI this past week, and it confirmed that he had a meniscus tear. So he'll be out. I don't know how long is a meniscus tear nowadays. I mean,
they said it had to be more than that because they said 5 months.
Oh, 5 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, he must have, but maybe there's some other damage in there besides the meniscus tear. But, yeah, he'll be back, though. But, I mean, like I said, I enjoy his work. I never really heard much about him. Kind of like when he was, you know, I mean, it was one of those things when they were trying to do storylines amongst the guys with the women, you know, passing the women around, you know, which just didn't sound right, did it? I didn't mean that.
No.
But he was one of the guys. He's the one who stole from Cedric Fox. Alexander. Yeah, took it from Alicia Fox from Cedric Alexander. I'm liking 205. I'm sorry, even though Enzo's a champ, I think that it does.
Drew Gulak is awesome.
Yes, Drew is good, and I think Enzo helps a lot for that. And as much as I dislike the guy,
did you see Enzo's license?
No. Does it say McLovin on it by any chance?
No, it doesn't. And the DMV is pretty angry about it.
The DMV, it took him 5 years to catch it, apparently. But so he has his signature on the bottom of his license.
Yeah.
And his real life initials are the same as Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
Except his A looks like a D. And the whole thing, it's like a squiggly E, and it looks like a phallic object.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's hilarious. He posted it on Twitter yesterday. And it's... it's pretty entertaining, and they sent him a letter saying he has to come down and re-sign. And
that's pretty funny. Well, you know, I mean, and see, that's the thing about the guy is he's just all personality. Even if you don't like it and he's abrasive and not, I still like that he's out there making that division exciting and drawing people to. And speaking of that, this past week we got, for those people who don't have the WWE Network, they got to see NXT on the network, on USA. Drew more people than anyone's ever watched on the network, too.
Yeah. I mean... You look at the numbers and you see 800,000 people, like 850,000 people. You don't think it's that much. It was a 7 p.m. show, so it's not prime time. And they really only built it up past week.
Yeah, they did absolutely nothing except for like a little snippet on a commercial.
Yeah. And they mentioned you could see it, you know, for the first time on network television. They're actually thrilled at how well it did.
I will say one thing. Yeah, of course they are. 800,000 at 7 o'clock. Yes, it was. They have 1.2 million subscribers to the network. They don't get a tenth of that watching that show each week. So, you know, maybe I'm underestimating it, but I'm going to say they don't. 800,000 is like if everybody was on the network watching it, you know?
Now, could you see the possibility of them possibly pushing NXT to a Tuesday night pre-SmackDown?
That would be nice. I'll say one thing about the NXT. It wasn't a great show they put on there, okay? I don't want to see squash matches, and that's what we got, a couple of those, you know?
Well, you got a couple of those, but you also got a really good match between Aleister Black and Adam Cole.
Yes, that was fantastic. And you got Aleister Black made his way to the Final Four.
Which I think was the point, because those are going to be two of the people that are spotlighted in the future.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I think Cien Almas, as good as he's become in that role, I don't think he's long to hold that title. Maybe not till WrestleMania.
Do you think he's a guy who's going to get called up quick?
No. I don't know if he'll get called up quick, but I think that he's kind of like a champion that's going to pass it to someone
else. I was reading some stuff from the guys who write down there, and they were saying things like Cien Almas wasn't a guy that they didn't have the right combination of things with him just until recently. So they didn't feel that he was someone to base the company on just until recently. So
no, and he was great. He was great in Japan. He was great in Mexico.
Yeah.
And they kind of took all that from him. When they brought him in, because they made him, you know, the baby face, and he had the stupid suspenders.
Yeah, I thought.
And then when he had his first big match, it's against Bobby Roode, who you're building up to be a superstar. So, you know, all things were against him there, and that kind of sucked. But if you didn't watch on the USA and you actually watched on the network, you got an extra match, too. You got to see Peyton Royce versus Ember Moon, which was not on USA, but it was not a great match, but it was still pretty good.
Hey, 222-1280, star 1280 is the number if you want to get to us, or if you want to text us at 222-1280. And if you're outside the area, put a 585 in front of that. We got Brian from Rochester. What's up, Brian?
Hi, guys. With tomorrow night being the night of the Champions pay-per-view, how do you see the match, the tag team match between Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, and who were they wrestling?
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, how do you see that playing out with two special guest referees?
You know what? That's a great question, because it's something we just started talking about in a commercial break very briefly. For the people who are on Facebook Live, they know we were going to go there too. So thanks for calling, Brian. Listen closely. Danger Boy brought up a very good point. If you watch SmackDown very closely, if it's still on your DVR, or if you are back in the ancient Stone Ages and you have videotape of it, go back and watch it again and watch that last interview with Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura there.
Yes, and Brian Alvarez brought this up, and I didn't notice it because I don't pay attention to the interviews when Randy Orton's talking usually, because he's much better as a heel. But the only thing Shinsuke Nakamura says in that entire segment is yep.
It's the yep movement.
Yep.
And it makes sense that they might go there. I mean, it could just be to, you know, make fun of their yep movement or whatever. And everybody's thinking, you know, we thought too much into it, you know, as just looking at it. But the finish they did on Tuesday with Daniel Bryan counting the three is the finish that everybody would think that you would see on Sunday.
Yeah.
Especially after that weird exchange between him and Byron Saxton, where he just owned Saxton the entire time.
Yeah.
That was so stupid to hear Saxton open his mouth. And I'm sure he was being fed half those lines.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Daniel Bryan did announce, though, that he will be the second referee now this weekend. This is a perfect opportunity for Daniel Bryan to take a complete heel turn, if maybe not Shinsuke Nakamura either. But I think, you know, they're setting it up for either Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon, one of them, to go to the dark side. Now, as much as it seems like it's perfect for Daniel Bryan right now, I mean, what about Shane McMahon? You know, Shane McMahon's been playing kind of a heelish character with some of the things he's been doing, you know, with, you know, punishing wrestlers and stuff like that, you know? I mean, thoughts?
Once a McMahon, always a McMahon. That's always kind of been the thing, is the McMahons can flip on a dime. But there are six people involved in this match, and you know probably the only one who's not going to have any possibility of a major change is Randy Orton.
Why? Because it doesn't matter whether he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Nobody cares about Orton. Right, Orton just does what Orton does.
He's treading water right now, looking for the next big thing to move to, you know?
Yeah. So I agree it could be Shinsuke, because really there is a built-in story there, because we've long said that they have buried him. He has been forgotten. He's not going anywhere.
And that's kind of what Zayn and Owens are using with their whole angle with this whole thing. It's like, yeah, you've guys treated it, disrespected us from day one here.
And it really points off to the fact, too, that when Shane McMahon started SmackDown, it was Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan wanting to make it the land of opportunity. And there's not a lot of opportunity anymore, it seems, as far as Shane McMahon's concerned. He's only focused on one thing at a time, whereas Daniel Bryan wants to make things interesting, wants to, you know, come up with new ideas. So I could see Shinsuke turning. I could see Daniel Bryan turning. I could see – there's so many different ways to it. It's going to be interesting.
And that's what's drawing me to this pay-per-view.
That's moment, the only thing.
That moment right now. There's, you know, I mean, yes, there's some interesting other matches on the pay-per-view. You get to see a three-way for the United States title, and we'll get to see really what Baron Corbin can do against guys who can work. Ziggler and
We saw him wrestle Ziggler for 6 months straight.
Yeah, I know, but it was, you know.
Now, what do you think about this, a lot of the talk in the industry lately about Ziggler and some of the things he's been saying? Because, I mean, he was on Edge and Christian's podcast, and he was basically saying, I have to come up with a decision really quick if I'm even going to stay.
Well, because I think his contract's up in October, is it?
No. He says he's got a short time to make that decision, and he's pretty much said he's got nothing left to prove there. So
the bad thing about him is he can't grow a foot. Okay. And so as long as he can't do that, he's not going to make it any higher than where he's been. You know what I mean? He was a champion.
He's been the champion. He just never got the ball.
He got a week. He got a champion for a week.
Well, he's a two-time champion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but he also, you know, he likes the actual wrestling part. If you listen to the podcast with Edge and Christian, I listened to the whole thing, and he pretty much, when they talk about him going to Kent State and wrestling, the only reason he went to Kent State to wrestle is to get a better background for professional wrestling. That was the one thing he wanted to do with his life.
Yeah, he's always wanted this, and that's kind of really disappointing if you think about it. This has been this guy's dream since he was a kid, and where is he now? He says it. He's a self-professed gatekeeper for NXT talent.
Big time, yeah.
And he can't win.
So you know what? Probably best for his career is to leave and go do some other stuff. Do what Cody Rhodes is doing right now. He could do the same thing.
I think a fresh start with him would be outstanding.
Yeah, I think, you know, and then maybe bring him back after, you know, he picks up the cleaner, you know, or he gets like a new gimmick that just, you know, just blows away New Japan, because he, you know what? New Japan would love everything this guy does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he would be number one in that company. I mean, he's that good. So it's like, I just don't think, you know, I think.
I don't know if he'd be number one.
Well, he'd be up there, though. He'd be in, like, you know, he'd definitely be in all the storylines, and he definitely would, you know, I mean, they would entrust him to the best matches of the year that they need because he's that good. So, but yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? You think leaving would help him?
Yes.
Oh, I think it would help him. And it sounds like he's almost made up his mind as to doing so. He was talking with Christian about when Christian did it and how it helped him and all this stuff. He's like, you know, he straight up said he had nothing left to prove.
Yeah, in the olden days, Vince McMahon used to say, go take a couple years away so we can have refreshed you. Back when WCW was around, he didn't mind when the guys, you know, when he's just like, they're creatively at the end of their line, he wouldn't mind if they left.
That's one of Jim Cornette's favorite things to talk about is back in the territory days, you know, you could leave and then people would miss you when you'd come back when you ran out. He goes, how can we miss you if you never leave?
True. That's true.
If you're always on TV.
Either that or you get hurt and you're off TV for 9 months. Yeah. It gives you a chance to recycle it, but it seems like everybody comes back as the same character anyways nowadays when they get injured. So we're going to go to break on that. We're going to take your calls on the flip side, 222-1280.
Can we do an XFL tease?
XFL, yeah, let's do an XFL tease.
Okay. There's rumors.
What?
There's rumors.
All right, more to rumors. Come on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
The Yep Movement has arrived. I mean, this is surreal. Kev, do you feel the energy in this building right now?
Yep.
It's as if the entire WWE universe finally decided to stand side by side with us.
Yep.
To stand against WWE management.
Yep.
And together we stand united in the name of change. Yep.
Now, I personally have seen the Shield up close, and even I must admit, I am not impressed.
Darkness has descended upon this plane of existence, but my woken wisdom and broken brilliance shall illuminate the masses.
Yo, you want to get hardcore, you want to get extreme, well, the Sandman does it by listening to 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Sorry, I'm doing the arm movements in my head.
Are you trying to get yourself over?
I'm trying to get myself over.
Did you see his new shirt?
No.
You know how he's been doing the thing where he like highlights over in you know, Balor Club Forever?
Yes.
His new shirt does that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Scott from Henrietta, Danger Boy, and you. And thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Maybe we'll see Brian sometime again in the future. Who knows?
Oh, we just got a text that brought up something we forgot to...
Did we miss something?
The new Facebook show that's going to be starting.
I've got that in my news. I was going to... But before we go there, we got two pieces of news. We're going to take calls. Danger Boy, what is your XFL tease?
Well, so randomly it started popping up yesterday on football sites that there are rumors going around that Vince McMahon, not through the WWE, but through another company he has started called Alpha Entertainment, is going to bring back the XFL.
Really?
And if he does so, apparently it's going to be announced January 25th.
Really? So that'd be the Royal Rumble weekend, I believe?
Just before it, yes.
Okay. Just before it.
Maybe we'll get William the Refrigerator Perry back in the ring.
It's... It's going to be interesting. There is a lot of stuff. Everybody, you know, talks about what a bad job the XFL did and everything. And for the most part, it was bad football because they never practiced together before the game started.
Well, the first play of the first game of the first season,
the guy broke his ACL.
Yeah, he got destroyed in that scramble for the football in the middle of the field.
But there's also things that they do now that in NFL broadcasts that they never did before, because of the XFL. That entire, when we saw that game where you saw the shots from behind like a video game, and when they did it in the fog game in New England, they wouldn't have that camera if it wasn't for the XFL.
Yeah.
So there's stuff that they kept, and you know, there's a lot of people who think that football has kind of wussed out a bit and are unhappy with the current state of the NFL. So I could see where Vince would try to capitalize on that. But at the same time, it's going to cost a lot of money, and what network is going to carry it?
Yeah, and I mean, and this whole thing with you know, head injuries, protocol.
Yeah, they would have to cut down on that, and they would have to cut down on the cheerleader stuff with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
With that kind of stuff.
But there's, so. I mean, we have a minor league football team here in town. I mean, you could easily do a league, you know, if you have the McBillionaire behind it, you know, Mr. Maha, or what's it?
McMahon? McPahn.
Okay. He definitely, you know, he could be like, I could see it, you know, he's got enough money. I'm not going to doubt the man. I never will. Ever again, but interesting. We have to keep our eyes on that, and we'll update you as we know. But okay, let's talk about the new mixed match challenge that WWE is going to be starting soon with on Facebook as well as on the network at the same time that we're supposed to be watching 205 Live.
Well, 205 Live is going to get bumped back. It's going to be a 20-minute show. It is going to be male female teams, yes. Man versus man, women versus women, and. You know, it's going to be a like tournament style, and it's going to be for charity. At the end, I believe it's $100,000 goes towards the charity of the winner's choice.
And and everybody is involved.
Yes.
Everybody on both shows. So it's like...
What's funny is they've already advertised that Sami Zayn's involved on it, and he might not be employed by the company if he loses on Sunday, so I don't know how that works.
Interesting. And it's a single elimination tournament, and it's like we said, it's going to be 20 minutes. It's going to happen right after SmackDown ends, and then they're going to start 205 Live after the show ends. So I don't know how many weeks it's.
So
12,
if you're going to a SmackDown
weeks.
Show, you're going to be there forever.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. I will say one thing. I will take after SmackDown ends them come out and do a tournament in front of me. I would love that, to be honest with you, because I mean that's. It's something we can bet on, okay? I'm just putting it out there, you know? Think about it.
Another pool.
Yeah, another way to bet. I think that's pretty cool, man. But it's going to be starting in January 16th is the very first show. It's going to happen on Facebook Live as well as WWE Network. So you can watch it in either platform. You don't have to pay for the Facebook Live. Well, I mean, unless this net neutrality does something by that point. But I have a feeling it's going to take a while before they start charging us extra money for that.
It's going to take like 2 years.
Yeah. So, but nevertheless, I love the names because it's going to be men and women. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, the mixed match challenge they're calling it, and it's like everybody is involved, and you know, you might even see some surprise people. You know, maybe Killian Dane will pop up on one of them. You know, because Killian Dane should be on the main show right now. Okay, the way that guy is.
There's a lot of people down there that actually could be on the main show.
There are a lot of people on the main show that could be down there.
Yeah. That's true too. 222-1280 Star 20 is the number. We got Rick from Rochester. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Richie Danger, how's it going?
And don't forget Scott from Henrietta too.
Oh, Scott. Hi, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
Hello there.
Okay, because Scott's got three things he wants to tell you.
Three things.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. What's up, Rick?
Hold on. First of all, I got to premise my call with, this is the XFL.
I think you got the job.
Awesome. Few things on my mind today. You were talking about 205 Live and some of the talent on there. I'd like to see... WWE signed my girl from that was in ROH/Women of Honor to team up with the boy Cedric again, the lovely feisty Veda Scott.
Veda. I don't know if Veda wrestles anymore, does she?
I saw she was over in England recently.
Well, I know, but she's usually does announcing for Ring of Honor. She's like, I mean, I bet you she's like one of the only ones that has like a pure contract with the company because they use her to promote pay-per-views. They use her in every aspect possible, so.
Yeah, I think she might be, I seen her a couple months ago in the Women of Honor wrestle when they had Mandy Leon and all them on there.
We've got to see some Women of Honor when we were in Buffalo. They had some of the women take on the women from that. So, really, she's, you know what, I wouldn't mind seeing her. She definitely has the look to be in the WWE. She doesn't necessarily have to be a wrestler.
She's a talker. She can talk. She can easily be somebody's manager.
Definitely. And she was on tour with Ring of Honor, and she'd also do like the house shows and stuff with them. So she's definitely, you know, we saw her. Didn't we see her? Danger Boy, you weren't there. It was
the second to last Ring of Honor show. She was in Buffalo.
Yeah, but we saw her also wrestle. I saw her wrestle on the last 2CW show. She was actually on that show, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, because she's, you know, like you said, she's got the looks and good on the mic. She's very cunning, so.
I'm glad you said that word. Go ahead. Well, what's up, Rick?
Now that we got Woken Matt Hardy, because they couldn't use Broken Matt Hardy, which is the same.
Believe me, he's going to make his way back to Broken. There's just no way they're going to
stop. They're doing Woken so WWE can capitalize on the money instead of him. He owns Broken now.
Oh, yes. Does he? Okay. Yes. So even if TNA or Impact had a problem with it, it's up to Matt Hardy now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't know whose property intellect that was.
What it was he filed a, there's some kind of legal brief he filed. TNA Impact, GFW, you know, RC Squared, whatever they're called, had 2 weeks to answer, and then he would win it uncontested. They never answered, so he owns Broken.
Oh, wow. All right. So does that leave the door open for when Brother Nero coming back?
Yes. Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to get the whole Brother Nero story rehashed, which is good, because I kind of liked when he was the butler for Matt Hardy, or whatever, the slave for him for the month after he lost the match.
The way we're going, we're going to get an hour straight of them laughing.
Yeah. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think they were just doing that because somebody had made 10 hours of Matt Hardy laughing?
Probably.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna choose my words very carefully. I have two points I would like to make before I hang up.
Okay, Rick, don't worry about it, man. We love you. Go ahead.
Now I know. I appreciate the love. I got the network, and I've had it for a couple of years, and been looking at the old Razor promos on there. Got a little section on Razor Ramon.
Sure.
Man, I just forgot how brilliant those promos were back in the day. They were so cheesy, but they were so good.
But don't you think, remember when Carlito showed up, they started using like the same kind of promos with Carlito when he was like, you know, when
he ate an apple on the beach.
Yeah, he would eat an apple on the beach, or apple, you know, in the market area and doing stuff. There was a lot of similarities to that, you know. But yeah, no. Oh, Scott Hall was an amazing performer. He still is, I think.
He was well before he was in WWE, too.
Yeah, he was. Big Scott Hall, man. He was a cowboy when he was in AWA, so.
Yeah, just those promos were brilliant back in the day. Like, they're saying, they were so cheesy, you know, with the how they dressed and stuff like that. And then I actually seen an outtake of where he was spitting the melon or whatever from the farm market at the guy. And I saw a couple outtakes of and they were laughing on a set or whatever when they were cutting the vignette. I was like, dude, those times were the best, man. Those were so classic.
Back then, I mean, that, I remember, you know what really, I remember when Goldust appeared and what kind of uproar there was, and, you know, especially because they started him off against Razor Ramon, the biggest machismo guy on the planet versus not sure where Goldust was coming from, you know?
The most risque thing they had ever done.
Yeah, the most risque. You know, I mean, remember he pulled his shirt open and he had his name on a heart written on his chest.
If you go back and watch that stuff was brilliant.
It was. It really made people think, I don't want my kids to watch this, you know? I mean, seriously, people were like up in arms over
it. They had a whole, Edge and Christian did a whole podcast about the Attitude Era, and that's what they came down with. Goldust started the Attitude Era.
I would say so, too. I remember, I remember that very well.
I would agree with that point. Last point on my mind today is, I was going across a lot of the old footage on YouTube that you couldn't find on the network that people shared. Basically, remember when RVD was on the Wrestling Challenge against the Million Dollar Man? He was the plan in the crowd when he was 16.
He was a kid then. He was like a little kid, yeah.
And yeah, he was 16.
Yeah. Okay, he was a young gentleman, okay.
Right, right. And then I seen the guy where the Million Dollar Man kicked a basketball out of the kid's hand who was dribbling after 14.
Yeah.
And then I seen on a computer like 4 years ago, DiBiase was running a car from one of the rental agencies, and the kid was the manager there. Now he's probably like 35 or whatever. It was just good stories like that, man.
Definitely, man. And it's like, and you know what? Ted DiBiase's still out there kicking basketballs out of little kids' hands to this day in any town around the United States on any given weekend. So,
And Virgil's almost practically begging people to come up and ask him for his autograph.
By the way, there's a piece of news I have. And, Rick, thank you so much for calling. There's new toys. It's called Superstar Virgil.
Yes. And only Virgil.
It has the actual, have you ever seen the picture?
Wrestling Superstar
sign that comes with it. Unbelievable. And you know what? I bet you Virgil hopes he sells a million of them, too. But I think he will. I mean, I don't know. You know, he tends to show up at shows when you're not expecting him. But we got to go to break on that. We got one last segment on the Pain Clinic. If you want to get in, 222-1280, start to late. We'll be back right after this. I got some text here we want to mention, too. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy, Scott from Henrietta, and you. I want you to not forget that we're going to be at Salvatore's at the Garage Door December 30th, penultimate day of the year for UFC. That's right, UFC 219. We're going to be at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. You can also catch it at Salvatore Saloon. There's never a cover charge for UFC pay-per-views. Come hang out with us. I got to hang out with the last one. We had a great crowd. It was a lot of fun.
Good food.
I definitely went off on the menu, got little things from all different parts of the menu. It was very good.
The menu's so good.
I know. You're making me hungry now just thinking about it. We got this last segment. And then
we can go to Salvatore's.
Then we can go to Salvatore's. Yeah, or, you know, I mean, next week we're going to have Gary Mervis up with us. So if you want to catch the show live on the air, we'll be doing the Gary Mervis special. But if not, if you go to our Facebook feed or our iTunes feed, we're going to do a wrestling. We'll do a little wrestling wrap up for the week. It might not be a full hour, but we'll talk about news and things going on. And so that you don't miss our wrestling talk. It'll just be internet, quote unquote, only. So, but on the air, we'll have Gary Mervis here definitely. So, so we got some stuff to talk about as we went to break there. I didn't mention, but they announced Shayna Baszler's on the, special that was on NXT on USA. So they kind of gave away their outlined image, you know?
Yeah. Well, they had the spades up there, and she's the queen of spades. So yeah. It was kind of a little obvious they were doing that anyways, but it's nice to see that they're finally building that up.
Do you see this? Did you see this?
Wait a minute. Who is that?
It's some guy that we'll talk about.
Why is there a homeless man
mention
in
it? We'll wait till after.
Why is there a homeless man in the studio?
We're going to have to take a picture here.
Eric kick him?
That's right. There's a guy who got kicked by Eric Eminon. It's in the studio with us right now.
Twice. One time he split his pants.
Yeah, well, he split his pants on that one time. That's for sure. Yeah, he did. So, wow, unbelievable. That's a surprise, big time, man. Sorry, someone just popped in the studio. It's very, very, very cool. And I love to talk about him on the air. Mark Fantasia, come on, come up and say hi here in the microphone real quick.
Good morning.
Mark Fantasia makes his return to Rochester, New York for a little bit. Now, where are you flying out of California now, right?
Yeah, right near L.A.
So he's been staying near L.A. You know, he left the team. He's like traveling around the world. And
he's the drifter.
He's like been panning for gold in the Colorado River and stuff, right?
Panhandling's a lot of fun.
No. Panning for gold, not panhandling. But
we were right the first time.
I was right the first time.
Pain Clinic wanted to stop over today and say hey.
Oh, I gotta get. We're gonna put a picture of a Mark Fantasia visiting. So I'm so excited to see him. But I don't even remember where we were going now. Oh, we mentioned Shayna Baszler. Yeah, they were showing. They kind of like gave it away. Yes, that's Ronda Rousey's best buddy, Shayna Baszler. And that's who the outline image was for the surprise person. So we've got that going on, as well as was there any other big news that we want? Oh yes, it's Lonely Virgil, right? Is that the name of the character?
Yeah, we did that.
We talked about Lonely Virgil. That's the most awesome picture ever you can find online. And now there's an action figure that goes with it.
I need a folding table, a small little folding.
The first
table.
8 boxes of him went to actually Virgil's house because he needs to go out and sell them when he's out doing, you know, showing up at wrestling shows and stuff like that. But there's a big pay per view this weekend. You guys super excited? I mean, yes, we got Jinder Mahal and AJ Styles. You think that's going to be
the last match they did was Jinder's best match?
Okay.
So I hate the fact that the Singh brothers just went right back to him, though.
Well, did they really?
Kinda.
Singh brothers went back to.
But he still may debut his new bodyguards. Who knows?
You think something about that, Mark?
I was actually just going to say for the pay-per-view this weekend, I texted Rich from the hotel. I even sent you guys a picture, obviously. I know you guys talked about Luke Harper and Colin Delaney already,
yes,
which is awesome. But I also texted him. I go, I'm promising you Daniel Bryan turns heel this Sunday. I listened to you guys on the way over when you guys were saying Nakamura. Don't see it happen. He's moneymaker when it comes to merchandise. You don't want to have him go heel. Daniel Bryan's going heel this week.
Okay, and it seems like that's a perfect setup, but then they always pull that swerve on us, you know, and that's probably the thing.
And the problem with his
heat. He's another one who's been held down by the man. Think about it. He can't get back in the ring because of his neck. Perfect, his concussions. Perfect segue into that, I bet you, because they're going to let him wrestle at some point.
Cool. Mark Fantasia makes his appearance here. First time in like a year and a half. We're done, man. We got to get out of here. I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Danger Boy. Thank you, Scott from Henrietta. We'll see you next week here on the Pain Clinic with the Gary Mervis Show. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.